Thanks for joining us today on CC and Doc Talk, where we talk about everything under the sun. You never know quite what you're going to get, but you'll always be entertained. Hello, everybody, and happy Pride Month!
Woohoo!
In case you didn't know, June is Gay Pride Month, and for those of you who don't know, Gay Pride Month is as much a celebration as it is a protest. And because of that, I came across something the other day. It was a blog post, and I'll share with you who it's from after I read it. And it was just so powerful, and I just needed to share it. So here we go. If you're a gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, or queer reader, I hope you already know that you don't need my affirmation to live whole and joyful lives, just as God made you. You are beloved children of God, and there is nothing I or any other Christian writer or church leader can say to alter that. I hope you know deep in your bones that there is no height or depth, no angel or demon, no denomination or church or pastor or parent who can separate you from the love of God and Jesus Christ. My heart grieves over the ways this truth has been obscured and denied by the church, often in destructive and deadly ways, and I apologize for years of complicity in that. I pray that in the years to come, churches of every denomination will join me in repenting the ways of our communities have marginalized those whom God loves by what we have done and by what we have left undone. And I look to you for leadership moving forward. As long as there is a need for straight allies like me to speak up in your support, I'll do it. But like many of you, I pray for a day when your humanity alone is enough, when posts like this just aren't necessary anymore. While you're not the intended audience for this piece, I hope it honors you. I pray you have already reached a point in your own story where posts like these are unnecessary to your self-acceptance, and you can skip the paragraphs ahead, knowing I've done my best to incorporate your testimony, scholarship, and leadership into each one. I hope it avoids some of the trappings of ally-centered advocacy, though I suppose some of those are unavoidable. Thank you for all you have taught me about love, courage, faithfulness, and truth. Forgive me for all the ways I have been complicit in your marginalization. I am a better wife, mother, Christian, and person for having you in my life. I've been sitting on this post for a couple of years now, torn by the fact that the indisputably redemptive lives and testimonies of the LGBTQ Christians in my life make it seem unnecessary, and the reality that the exclusionary posture of many churches, denominations, and families would suggest that it still is. Recent events, the controversy around Jen Hatmaker's public affirmation of same-sex relationships, and conversations with LGBTQ friends have convinced me it's important to explain to my readers how and why I moved from a more conservative posture that deems variations in gender and sexuality as sinful aberrations against God's will to a posture that embraces these variations as a part of God's creation and that celebrates the healthy, loving, and Christ-like relationships that emerge from them. I've shared this evolution in bits and pieces elsewhere, and I've been public about my position for quite some time, but I've never outlined my journey in a single post. My aim is to show how such a change is possible, indeed necessary, and to dispel some of the myths regarding those of us who hold an affirming position. I, in short, affirm LGBTQ people because they are human beings created in the image of God. I affirm their sexual orientations and gender identities because they reflect the diversity of God's good creation, where little fits into rigid binary categories. I affirm their healthy relationships. I affirm them because theology that refuses to accept their personhood is deadly. I recently read an article that described LGBTQ people and those who love and affirm them as wolves prowling and lions roaring, bold and proud of their heresy. That's not true. That's not who we are. We are parents compelled by unconditional love to embrace our children as God made them and to give them every chance to be healthy and whole. We are pastors compelled by scripture, tradition, and our responsibility to God's people to preach a gospel that is good news for all, especially for the marginalized and cast out. We are therapists and counselors compelled by stories of trauma and heartache to point a better way forward. We are friends and neighbors, siblings and Sunday school teachers, aunts and uncles and Christian college professors spurred by truth and love to speak out. Many of us have paid a steep price for doing so, though never as steep as the LGBTQ people who face the brunt of the discrimination every day. We don't take this posture because it's easier, popular, or rebellious. We do it because we believe with every fiber of our beings and with the conviction of the Holy Spirit that it's the right thing to do. So with all that said, this is my story. I don't speak from ignorance when I refer to what is often termed the traditional view of gender and sexuality. On the contrary, I was raised on it. For many years, it was all I knew. I immersed myself in the apologetics movement of the 1990s and early 2000s, memorizing all the Bible verses and familiarizing myself with the arguments around culture war issues like abortion and same-sex marriage. Same-sex relationships were indisputably regarded as sinful. If you've read any of my autobiographical books, you will not be surprised to learn that as a religious overachiever, Enneagram 3's rule, I knew the arguments against same-sex relationships backward and forward and could handily win a proof text debate against anyone who disagreed with what I believed was historical and biblical consensus on gender, sex, and marriage. I held what many refer to as the traditional view, that God created men and women whose gender identities should correspond to the typically male and typically female physical features of their birth and whose sexual orientations and relationships must be heterosexual in order to be holy. Though I held these views without perceived malice, I have come to believe that they are inherently damaging, and I grieve to think of the harm that I might have done by perpetuating them, even for a short time in my late teens and early 20s. Like a lot of folks raised in a conservative evangelical culture, I grew up believing that some people, in an act of rebellion against God, chose to pursue a gay lifestyle by identifying as gay, lesbian, or bisexual, and by engaging in relationships with people of the same sex. Similarly, those who identified as transgender were rebelling against the gender God assigned them to via biology, and thus also living in sin. This was not something we talked about a lot in my home, which was always loving and grace-filled, but it's something I learned about in church, at the conservative Christian college I attended, and in books and magazines I consumed voraciously as a teenager and a young adult. So what changed? Things began to unravel in college when the answers I'd memorized in apologetics class failed to satisfy my own nagging questions regarding conservatism, evangelical views on politics, science, religious pluralism, heaven and hell, sexuality, and gender roles. This led to something of a crisis of faith, a story I've outlined in several of my books. Even as I held the traditional view, I noticed how fellow Christians disproportionately targeted gay people. Professors at my evangelical college argued against the legalization of same-sex marriage, but had no problem with remarriage after divorce remaining legal, despite biblical prohibitions against it. I never saw anyone kicked out of church for the lifestyle sins of greed, gluttony, or gossip. We didn't argue that bakers should be able to refuse service to cohabitating heterosexual couples. Evangelicals seemed content to classify debates over women in ministry and methods of baptism as secondary issues, but turned LGBTQ acceptance into a doctrinal line in the sand. It was like how in Jesus' day, everyone acknowledged themselves as sinners, and yet there remained a special classification for, you know, sinners. Interestingly enough, Jesus preferred to associate with the latter. It became clear to me that LGBTQ people were being singled out, marginalized, and rejected. I heard stories from people like Justin Lee, whose life looked remarkably like my own, raised evangelical by loving and involved parents, deeply committed to his faith, known to his public class schoolmates as good boy, I was Bible girl, and committed to the traditional view that homosexuality was a sin, but with one important difference. Justin is gay. As he writes in his excellent book, Torn, Justin didn't want to be gay. He didn't choose to be gay. Night after night, I cried myself to sleep, he writes, begging and pleading with God to take away my sexual attractions to other guys. Like so many other gay and lesbian Christians, Justin attempted conversion therapy through a now-defunct organization promising healing and deliverance from homosexuality, complete with the testimonies from ex-gay men and women that included pictures of them smiling with their families. Counselors at the organization tried to convince Justin that his same-sex attractions were the fault of his parents, an overbearing mother and a distant father, they said. But this simply didn't fit with Justin's lived experience. He was close to his father and had a healthy relationship with his mom. Justin eventually soured on conversion therapy when he saw just how much pain and guilt it instilled in himself and other LGBTQ Christians, and when high-profile ex-gays like Colin Cook, Michael Busey, Gary Cooper, and John Polk, whose testimonies helped fuel the ex-gay movement, which crashed with scandals and broken families. Several of those men later disavowed conversion therapy. Alan Chambers, the former president of Exodus International, apologized for the pain and hurt caused by Exodus. It would be one thing if Justin's story was an isolated one, but as I began traveling, speaking, and visiting with my readers in person, I heard similar stories over and over again. Justin's story was not the exception, it was the norm. These people were not broken. Far from being unnatural, homosexuality has been widely documented in the animal kingdom, and far from being a product of American culture, variations in gender and sexuality have been observed in hundreds of cultures around the world, from those that embrace variants in gender and sexuality like the Navajo or the Bugis of Indonesia, to those that make them punishable by death. Rachel passed away before she had the chance to finish this article. She would reference it sometimes when we talked. She worked on it off and on for hours. For years. She started working on it again just before she got sick and was planning to post it earlier this year. This post is my best effort to show her intent. It's based on writing and notes of hers that I found on her computer. I've posted it publicly because I know how important this message is. It's important enough to be public, even though it's imperfect and incomplete. Silent allies with platforms, clergy, employers, it's your turn to advocate for your LGBTQ family, friends, neighbors, and coworkers. It's your turn to be public, even if you're imperfect and incomplete. Dan. And Dan is the husband of Rachel Held Evans. Rachel, who is no longer with us. And this was her last, or his last blog post on her behalf on October 8th, 2019. So I feel like I've been living under a rock to not have heard of Rachel Held Evans before. And I, what's funny is I know I've heard her name, but I didn't know why. And somebody posted something on Instagram the other day. It was a quote. And now, unfortunately, I can't find the quote because, you know, the Instagram feed refreshes so quickly. But it had something to do with the current religious and political environment and how it needs to change. And then I realized that she had died. And that this was the last blog post in 2019, and I thought, my gosh, that was 4 years ago already, before the pandemic, and before some of the most recent things that have set us so far backward in progress. So it is Pride Month, and we're supposed to be celebrating, and yet I felt so compelled to read that. And you and I, we never get too religious or spiritual, or, you know, we get real spiritual, but we never really discuss like religion and politics in our podcast to any great degree. Mm-hmm. And I didn't read this for that reason either. I read this because it was so profoundly touching to me. And then when I found out she died, I literally was grieving the loss of her before I even realized who she was, because it's so rare for somebody who comes from where she came from in the religious community to then come to this set of knowledge and this perspective and to be willing to put themselves out there and to be an ally and to announce it to the world. I'm just so in awe of this woman.
Well, especially since she had such a pendulum swing from really strong opinions to, wow, I was wrong. And converted herself,
right?
But maybe she's helping from the other side, you know, help those that are a little bit more narrow-minded.
I sure hope so.
A little bit more open-minded.
Gosh, I sure hope so. So Rachel Held Evans, if you're listening, we absolutely connect with what you've said here, and thank you for this incredibly powerful, writing,
for being real and sharing that.
Absolutely, I'm so disappointed that we'll never know what the remainder of that article would have been. But I think her husband Dan put it very well when he added that part at the end about allyship. And so, you know, you and I have been together for 21 plus years. And when we came together in our relationship, we were not super familiar with our own gay culture, because at the time we were married to men and very much considered straight.
Yeah.
So we were definitely remedial lesbians. And so we had a lot to learn. And you know, certainly as challenging as it was for us to be a lesbian couple 21 years ago, things got so much better over the last couple of decades. And now all of a sudden it does really feel like we're going so far backwards again. So maybe the point of this podcast today is just really to talk a little bit about that and how, from our perspective, how does that impact us? I mean, I know we live a fairly isolated life out here in the middle of nowhere, and we don't often attend pride parades anymore. But, you know, we remember attending pride parades back when there were protests happening from the opposite side, and that's now happening again, but sometimes in a much more forceful way. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, our lives have changed so drastically, and yet this backward motion really does still affect us. And can still affect us very greatly. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. I just thought we should talk about that.
There was one part in the article, actually two parts in there. One is, you know, by what's left done, by what's done and what's left undone.
Yeah.
And, you know, so as much as we are all still trying to do to help further the cause and be out and talk about it, and, you know, because people fear what they don't understand. And so I love back in the day when Harvey Milk said, you know, everybody has to come out. They have to tell their friends and their family, it's you that they're doing these laws against. Yep. And we're almost back to that era of, you know, we have to be the ones, don't leave things undone right now when we have a voice. And so what we can do is continue to be willing to be bold and educate friends and educate family about, you know, hey, we're not scary. We're normal people.
And we've done a lot of that over the years. I mean, literally, because we came from, quote unquote, the straight world. We've been educating people for 21 years. And quite honestly, we are still doing that. In fact, currently on our social media at CC and Doc, we are, every day this month, we are putting out a question that's been asked of us in the last 21 years about our gayness. And we're also soliciting questions from our followers, right. And yeah. We're willing to answer just about anything.
We used to say, if you have the guts to ask, we will answer. And
exactly.
People have asked some doozies.
They have. And you'll see some of those if you're following us on social media. And so the point of that is, you know, it's funny how a couple of years ago we were like, oh, maybe we can stop educating people now. And then all of a sudden we're like, okay, let's keep educating, because nope, we're not there yet.
When we were looking for the house that we're in now, we said, you know, moving into a community, you know, you said, I'm tired of making communities feel comfortable with us. When is a community going to make us feel comfortable?
Yeah.
And I remember distinctly that you said that. And
that's,
I was like, wow.
Well, and that's because as early as, 2021, we were experiencing in some of the places that we were looking at for new homes, we were actually experiencing.
We had one small town say,
some discrimination.
If I'm reading the two of you correctly, you're not going to be welcome here.
And we were shocked. We're like, oh my God,
what?
It's 2021 and we've been together for 20 years,
like,
21
really?
Years and holy cow. And so, yeah, we were, I remember we were so shocked by that.
Yeah.
And again, I guess we've led kind of a sheltered life.
So we bought a house there, put out a rainbow flag. No.
We didn't, but we discussed it heavily.
We did.
We did. We absolutely did. And I do remember saying that, you know, it's when will it be time for others to make us feel welcome and not the other way around?
Yeah.
And so, you know, and so here we are back at the beginning, 21 years later. And yeah. I do still feel like each and every one of us has a role and a responsibility to educate. I think that, you know, we are much better served by approaching this challenging time that we're in
right.
with trying to combat the ignorance, because ignorance leads to fear. And fear leads to power and control. And,
right. And then these people end up in office and they make laws,
right.
Which really impact people. And I think...
And hate.
You know,
the
gays were targeted for so long. Lesbians were kind of under the radar a little bit. The gays were targeted for... The gay men were for quite a while. And now the transgenders are just the absolute brunt of all this hate and
yes.
these laws that are going into effect. And it's just... It's painful. And... You know, we're right now waiting for the celebrities and the corporations to step up here, because that's what it's going to take.
Speak out for the transgender community, not just the LGBTQ community.
Yeah, and because that's what it's going to take. I mean, you know, much greater than a podcast here, but, you know, it really is going to take some bold movements. And I guess the one thing that we all can do is to really, and this is, you know, maybe a big ask of people, to really think about who you vote for. Because, you know, in the upcoming elections that are going to be around the block, the laws and the ignorance and the limited mindset that people are going to put into play is scary and impacts a lot of people. So, you know, if there's doubt, if there's question, to, you know, what's in the best interest of truly the people at heart?
Well, and really find out, like really dig for information, I think, too, because, you know, as we all know, you know, different news organizations are biased in different areas. And so if you're very focused on watching, you know, one type of news versus the other type of news, you know,
they're all skewed.
You get kind
they're
of
all
right,
opinions.
Everything is skewed. So that's
all
why
news is opinions.
That's
right?
Why, you know, I always end up reading my news and I read it from five different sources and then I make up, you know, my own conclusions. But, you know, there's so much legislation right now, anti-gay, anti trans legislation that's happening right now.
This anti legislation. We're going so far back.
And people don't realize how much of it is actually happening. And so, you know, it's not like we're on every news broadcast and they're running down the list of the 20 things that came up across the United States today of how we can discriminate against the LGBTQ community, but it's happening. And sometimes it's happening quietly, which is even scarier.
Yeah, it is. So I guess, you know, what can people do? What can we do? You know, does it come down to that, or are we waiting for others? But when there are the opportunities out there to have the courage to speak up, to do some homework, to embrace what Rachel did in her article, to say, you know, she really had a change of perspective and a change of heart. And a change of knowledge,
right,
to be able to have that type of a transition and transformation to go, wow, I was wrong.
Right.
And even though I had been trained in so many ways with this other perspective, for her to admit that, you know, in the transformation. So I think we're all capable of making those types of transformations.
And in order to do that, you have to have knowledge, you have to be educated, and you have to have at least a little bit of an open mind to recognize that there is a different perspective. And, you know, we may not always agree, but we could also agree to disagree without enacting laws and legislation that diminish the rights of somebody else. I mean, one of the things that always stands out to me, and somebody just asked this question the other day, and we're going to be publishing this answer, is what was the hardest part about being gay? And one of my responses to that is that all of a sudden I became seen by the world as a completely different person simply because of who I love, and completely disregarding the fact that I'm the same person that I always was, but the world now and then saw me differently. And I think that's just.
Well, I remember when you and I did our first beach vacation, we wouldn't hold hands walking down the beach. And it stood out to me very distinctly. It's like, you know, I never questioned my husband at the time, holding hands with him as we walked down the beach, but yet you and I wouldn't or couldn't hold hands when we walked down the beach, or as soon as we saw people, we would pull our hands apart. Mm-hmm. And so there is still that latent fear that's there.
Well, and I don't think it's latent though.
No. Anymore. I mean, we're very conscious of it and stuff. And so, you know, there was another part in what you read, and thank you. That was a long read on your part. She said that, you know, being gay was our retaliation to God for the sex that we were given, or the, you know, who we were supposed to be.
I assure you that those of us who grew up Christian, you know, sure as hell wouldn't be doing that by choice.
Right. And yet what's happening with these lawmakers, that is retaliation.
Right.
And so to be aware, that truly is retaliation that stemmed, from my perspective, in pure ignorance and fears. So. Yeah.
Fear controls the populace. And so, and that, you know, and certainly this is the world according to CC and Doc, which it always is. By the way, if you're interested,
it's the right world.
it's our way or the highway. By the way, I also did, write a blog post, a couple of days ago, where I compared, how having rectal cancer is a bit like being gay. And where I talk about some of this stuff and how basically it means that it's taboo. It comes down to taboo culture, right? And, you know, having rectal cancer in some cases is taboo culture.
Things
you can't talk about. Can't talk about your butt and pooping. And, you know, being part of the LGBTQ world is also, you know, marginalized and taboo culture. Anyway, I go on to explain that much more thoroughly. And so nobody gets offended. I'm not really comparing cancer to being gay. But I am saying that being in a marginalized group, you know, has similar effects regardless of what marginalized group it is.
Yeah, and Hallmark doesn't write the card that says, I'm thinking of you and poo. Thank you, Maria, for that little...
That was Maria, my friend in Canada. Go, Maria. Thanks
thinking
for that.
Thinking of you and poo.
I'm going to get Maria to start a new card line with me. Greeting card line with me. Anyway, bottom line here is that, you know, if there's something that you don't understand, please seek first to understand. And if you're listening to us and or you know us, then you realize that we are really pretty much just normal people who happen to be gay or lesbian. So
whatever they have to box you have to put you
and,
in.
And the other thing that I will say is this. It's very easy to stand on the sidelines and say, well, that's probably not going to happen. It'll be fine. You know, I don't really think you have to worry about that much. Or to stand on the sidelines and maybe quietly observe some of these microaggressions and discrimination happening, but because it doesn't directly affect you, maybe
it doesn't get addressed.
You're not so, yeah, yeah. So maybe be a little brave on behalf of your LGBTQ friends when you can, because we would really appreciate it. And honestly, I'm so in awe of Rachel for that post, and I am sad I didn't get to read the rest of it. Everybody have a happy Pride, be healthy, be happy, be at ease, and know that you are perfect just the way you are. Thanks for tuning in to Cece and Doc Talk. We'd love for you to follow us on social media at Cece and Doc. That's CCNDOC. And you can visit our website at ccanddoc.com. We also take monthly donations to support this broadcast if you're so inclined. We'd love to hear your comments, suggestions, and questions, and we'll do our best to respond. Thanks, and have a fantabulous day.